The viewpoints expressed on Liberty Works Radio Network are not necessarily those of the network, its affiliates, or sponsors. This is Liberty Works Radio Network. Now live from coast to coast and around the globe. More real talk, the kind you want, on Liberty Works Radio Network.
Welcome to the Freedom Above Fortune Radio Show, ladies and gentlemen. I am the Agent for Truth, Joe Bannister, your host. It's Saturday, April 10th, 2010. I'm coming to you on Frank Talk 104.3 FM as well as worldwide over the internet at lwrn.net. It's my honor and privilege to be with you. lwrn.net is the flagship website for Liberty Works Radio Network, the network that brings you radio programming you will not hear anywhere else. Please support this network by visiting lwrn.net and clicking on the Join Donate button in the upper left-hand corner. And while you're at the website, check out the great video near the bottom of the page. Given the many blessings God has bestowed on our country, I dedicate every show to our Father in Heaven. So I always start the show by praying as Jesus instructed us in Matthew chapter 6. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Our country is in deep trouble, and I urge everyone to fervently pray for God's blessings on our country. Let's redouble our efforts to obey His commandments, especially refraining from taking the Lord's name in vain. I invite you to join my email list by visiting my website at freedomabovefortune.com. That's freedomabovefortune.com. Click on mailing list on the left-hand side of the home page. And I always encourage you to have a paper and pen handy to copy down important information that we try to give out. For those that are new to the show, I'm a former special agent with the Internal Revenue Service Criminal Investigation Division. I no longer work for the IRS because during the last 2 years of my service there, I performed an off-duty investigation into claims that the income tax laws did not actually require most Americans to file federal income tax returns and pay federal income tax, and that the IRS was actually deceiving the American public about their true income tax obligations. After gathering and analyzing a mountain of evidence, I concluded that these claims about the federal income tax system were largely true. And when I asked my IRS supervisors to discuss my conclusions with me, they not only refused to have any discussions with me, but they encouraged me to resign from the agency. I'm featured in a movie called America: Freedom to Fascism, which I highly recommend watching as soon as possible. You can type in the words America, Freedom to Fascism into a search engine, and you can watch the movie for free, or you can go to freedomtofascism.com and get your own copy. I'd like to remind you about the constitutionally backed tax holiday, the National Strike for Freedom, founded by Karen Quinn Tostado. Karen was on the show a few weeks ago, for those listeners who may have missed her. And you can learn more about this national tax holiday, this April 15th, by going to taxfree15.com. That's taxfree15.com. Second, I'd like to invite you to participate in Operation Stop Thief. It's being orchestrated and put together by Tom Cryer of Truth Attack, truthattack.org. And you can get all your details, you can even get some flyers and information at truthattack.org. Every year we go to the post offices around the country on April 15th and IRS offices, and we plan to do the same this April 15th. I'll be visiting San Jose, California, and be trying to hand out literature there to educate our fellow Americans about the truth about the income tax. Well, I'd like to share with you a speech given to the South Dakota Family Policy Council in June 2009 by a woman named Kitty Werthmann, who describes her youth growing up in Austria under the Nazi regime of Adolf Hitler, as well as 3 years under communism before she immigrated to America. I notice many eerie parallels between the tyranny that Kitty Werthmann describes and what we are experiencing more and more from our own federal and state governments. And now, Kitty Werthmann's presentation.
Thank you for coming and showing your interest in some of the things our nation is struggling with. You know, to introduce Kitty, a lot of you may know her. Maybe you've heard her speak. If you haven't, you're in for a real treat. Kitty grew up in Austria under the Nazi regime of Adolf Hitler. She's seen firsthand the devastating effects when people elect and put unchecked power in the hands of a few. Kitty has been lobbying in family and pro-life issues with Eagle Forum for the past 36 years in Pierce, South Dakota. Kitty testified before an Armed Services Committee in Washington, D.C. in 1983. She was testifying in regarding keeping women out of military combat. Kitty attended a summit conference in 1985 with President Ronald Reagan and Mikhail Gorbachev. She worked undercover in a peace march to gain information for the White House. She'll tell you a little bit more about that story this evening. I had the pleasure of hearing Kitty 10 to 15 years ago, and a lot of the issues regarding socialism that Kitty talked about 10 years ago have been coming true in America since then. So she knows about what he's talking about. She saw it firsthand. Would you please join me in welcoming Kitty Werthmann as she shares her experience?
Thank you very much for a nice introduction. Thank you very much for all of you for coming out tonight to hear me. I was born in Austria, and I lived under Hitler's brutal regime for 7 years, and after the war was over in 1945, 3 years I lived under Soviet communist occupation. I came to the United States in 1950, and I became a naturalized American citizen. The greatest thing that ever happened to me. I take you back a step into history. In the late 1930s, Austria, small country of 8.5 million people, a Christian nation, we were in a very, very deep depression. We had 1/3 of our workforce unemployed. We had inflation of 25%, and if you borrowed money from the bank, you paid 25% interest. Farmers were losing their farms. The bank were taking over their farms. Businesses were going bankrupt. There were riots in the streets. The unions were calling for strikes, and factories, industries were closing up. There was no work. People usually come begging. I remember we had about 30 people a day coming to our house, knocking on the door for a bowl of soup and a piece of bread. My mother had always a big kettle of soup on her stove, and we were baking bread to feed those hungry people. They were not lazy people. A lot of people were young people, college graduates, couldn't find a job, so they went begging door to door just to keep themselves alive. And what was even worse, we had anarchy in the big cities, in the streets. There were two political factions fighting each other. On one side, it was Hitler's party. On the other side, was a communist party. Communist Party were getting very, very strong because they promised the people everything. You vote for us, you will have the paradise of the world. On the other side, Hitler's party. Listen carefully. Hitler's party was called the National Socialist Party, commonly known as the Nazi Party. Nazi derives from national. Nazi Party. I will get you into that a little bit later. So we were petitioning the government to have an election, a plebiscite, because we heard a lot of rumors that in Germany, where Hitler ruled since 1933, he had law and order, and we had almost anarchy. He had a high living standard. Everybody was driving their Volkswagen, you know, their little Beetle car, and they had full employment, and they had hardly any crime. And, of course, we were looking to our neighbor to the north, Germany. There was only a border between us. We had the same culture. We spoke the same language. There was just a border, like South Dakota and North Dakota. So we thought, why not annex those two countries, annex Austria to Germany, and we would have our people employed again, and we would have law and order, and we would have the hungry all fed. So we had an election, and oh, we were so happy. 98% voted for Hitler. And Hitler was coming into Austria even before that, and he almost hypnotized the people. You were just awed. He was a very good speaker, a very good speaker. And he promised us everything. And the masses turned out by the thousands and thousands and thousands. Haven't we seen that in the last election? So, yes, we elected Hitler by 98% of the vote. Because he promised us a high living standard, and he promised us that within 3 to 4 weeks, everybody will have employment. Sure enough, there was employment. A lot of government jobs. We were building the Autobahn, the freeway. Everybody found jobs. And he also said, those banks who were usurpers by charging 25% interest, I will give every farmer who lost their farm and every business owner, I will give him back their business. He nationalized our banks. Does that tell you something? So, we are about getting a new government. Nobody was elected anymore. Everybody was appointed. Because we believed that in Germany everything was going so good that they know how to govern. And they certainly would pick the best people to put them in positions like on the school board, on the city commission, on the county commission, and in the legislature. Nobody was elected anymore. Everybody was appointed. We also had what we call, what we here call regionalism. Austria had 7 states, and Hitler said that it's easier to govern if you merge the 7 states into 4.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Kitty Werthmann describe her experiences growing up in Nazi Germany. And you're listening to Joe Bannister, the Freedom Above Fortune radio show. I am the agent for truth. And we'll be back after these messages. Thanks for joining us.
Want to receive a big return on your investment? Then take your Ford, Lincoln, or Mercury to Ford of Ocala and ask for the works. For just $29.95, you'll receive Motorcraft Premium Synthetic Blended Oil and Filter Change. Rotate and inspect all Ford tires. Inspect air and cabin air filters. Test your battery, brakes, belts, hoses, and top off all fluids. This is no overpriced quickie roadside drive-thru. Ford of Ocala guarantees white glove service with genuine quality Ford parts and factory-trained service techs. Ford do-it-yourselfers, Ford of Ocala's parts department is open to the public, stocking genuine Motorcraft parts with a factory guarantee. Ford of Ocala is the name you can trust. Your family and its safety are too important. Come to Ford of Ocala and ask for the works. It's just $29.95. It's ladies and gentlemen serving ladies and gentlemen, where every day's a sale day. Their service will make the difference. Highway 441, Ocala and Bellevue. The traffic's not bad at all.
Hey, slow down.
Hey, don't get run over by the competition. With overinflated prices and frontline personalities,
go to the Fair and Balanced Professionals at George's Wholesale Tires.
Specializing in a wide variety of tires, including Michelin, Cooper, Goodyear, Firestone, PF Goodrich, and Pro Comp, will almost always beat the competition. Guaranteed.
Wow.
So before you get a new set of tires, get going to George's Wholesale Tires in Beverly Hills, where every day is a wholesale day. Mention Frank Talk 104 and receive a full-service oil change for the amazing low, low price of $18.99.
George's Wholesale Tire. ASC certified and complete auto repair. From brakes to shocks, struts, tune-ups, air conditioning, plus state-of-the-art computer balancing and alignment diagnostics. With 90-day same-as cash. Accepting Discover, Visa, MasterCard, and American Express. George's Wholesale Tire. North Lecanto Highway. Right next to the Beverly Hills Bowl. Call 527-1712. That's 527-1712. For George's Wholesale Tire.
Hey, don't get run over by the competition.
Go to the Fair and Balanced Professionals at George's Wholesale Tire.
Hey, slow down.
You know those ads for pay TV that scream, save now! At Dish Network, we say save always. We have over 120 channels starting at just $24.99 per month for 12 months. And there's no equipment to buy. Free DVR upgrades and free HBO and Showtime for 3 months. And after the promotional period ends, you'll still get great everyday savings. Call Al's TV now at 352-489-5676. That's 489-5676. Al's TV, your Dish Network authorized retailer, and get Sensible TV at 352-489-5676. That's 352-489-5676 for Al's TV. That's Al's TV, located on William Street in downtown Dunellen at the historic three-story Triangle Building. Limited time offer. Prices, packages, and programming subject to change without notice. 24-month commitment required. Cancellation fees and other restrictions may apply. Call for details. Call Al's TV now at 352-489-5676. That's 489-5676.
Be sure and check your mailbox for the Great Savings Magazine.
The Great Savings Magazine, loaded with all of your favorite coupons.
The substation delivers, oh my. You've got to check it out at 4101 South Suncoast Boulevard in Homosassa.
The substation.
Or definitely give them a call at 352-628-7827. That's 628-7827. The substation delivers, oh my. 628-SUBS, S-U-B-S. Pizza, fresh pasta, calzone, stromboli, and of course, Subs, the best subs anywhere. Mmm, what a selection. Philly cheesesteaks, the substation delivers. And guess what? Homosassa, you've got it. New York style pizza, only at the substation. Ooh, everything's so good.
Mmm, at the substation. Mmm, at the substation.
Be sure and check your mailbox for the Great Savings Magazine.
The Great Savings Magazine, loaded with all of your favorite coupons.
Live is the morning program. On the radio, all over the country, the great WABC in New York and the Fox Business Network, and a new affiliate, WIFL 104.3, Frank Talk, 104.3, News, Sports, and More.
Glenn Beck, Frank Talk, 104.3, best-selling author, Mark Levin.
That's what we call crap. Get off the phone, you big dope.
Frank Talk, 104, News, Sports, and More. Liberty Works Radio Network, enlightening you to the real problems we face in our constitutional republic, helping you to better understand what has to be done to save America from becoming a third world nation. Please Do your part in spreading this voice of truth and enlightenment to your fellow Americans. Join the Liberty Works Radio Network Fellowship. Go to www.libertyworksradionetwork.com for details. Liberty Works Radio, truth in broadcasting.
Now live from coast to coast and around the globe, more real talk, the kind you want, on Liberty Works Radio Network.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Freedom Above Fortune radio show. My name is Joe Bannister, your host, the Agent for Truth, agentfortruth.com. We will rejoin Kitty Werthmann. She is speaking about her experiences growing up in Nazi Germany. She spoke at the South Dakota Family Policy Council in June of 2009. And we'll take you back with Kitty Werthmann.
We also had what we call, what we here call regionalism. Austria had seven states, and Hitler said that it's easier to govern if you merge the seven states into four. Centralization is a very, very important component of socialism. So he said, when we only have four governors, we save a lot of money. I have seen that twice in Pierre, in our legislature, that they wanted to merge our 66 counties into 15 because it would save a lot of money, but we would be losing local control. Twice it happened. Unfortunately, in the last session, we had one of those bills again, to merge our counties. And I know that one legislator was very upset because some of his colleagues called him Hitler, because I testified before the committee, because that's exactly what Hitler did. I didn't mean to offend anybody. I was just speaking about history. There were other things what Hitler did. He gave us all free radios so we could listen to him. He was telling us what to do. The radio station, of course we didn't have television at that time, the radio station was nationalized, owned and operated by the government. Let's not hope it will happen here too. So the news media was censored by the government. If there was anything derogatory written in the paper, that was cut out before it hit the street. So we only heard what they were telling us. We have heard nothing whatsoever. We had no conservative movement. We had no conservative literature, nothing. And of course, if you would listen to a foreign radio station like BBC, there was capital punishment. I didn't see any heroes. A lot of things happened very fast. Of course, education was also nationalized. I remember March 13, I went to public school. We had an excellent school because the country was about 98% Catholic, and we prayed in school before we started our classes, and we ended our class with prayer, and we had a crucifix in front of the classroom. That morning, I walked into my classroom, and the crucifix was gone. And there was Hitler's picture with the Nazi flag on both of his sides. And our teacher said, today we don't pray anymore. We will sing Deutschland, Deutschland über alles, the national anthem. And of course, we wouldn't have religion classes anymore either on Tuesday and Friday. We had physical education instead. On Sunday, there was National Youth Day, and it was absolutely compulsive. Our parents were told if they would not send us on Sunday morning to the gymnasium for National Youth Day, first they would get a letter of warning. Second time they did not send us, they would be fined about the equivalent of $300. And the third time we didn't show up, they were being jailed. Well, at that time yet, we had a lot of respect for our parents, and we dutifully attended those Sundays, National Youth Day. The first 2 hours, we had political education. Today, I would call it political indoctrination, because we were told not to listen to our parents. They were old-fashioned fogies. We should only listen to Hitler. He was our future. And our parents didn't understand us. And we wouldn't have any freedom if we listened to our parents. But Hitler would give us freedom. And that is what we heard for 2 hours long. And the rest of the day we had sports. We got all the equipment free. We got tennis rackets, we got golf clubs, we got skis, and the boys of the age of 16, they got free motorcycles, so they could form a motorcycle squad. Not only that, they were taken out to the airfield to fly gliders, and that was just wonderful. The end of the day, we would go home and tell our parents how much fun we had. Was much more fun than going to church on Sunday and kneeling on the cold floor in the unheated church and listening to the old pastor sermonizing us. We had so much more fun. So much more fun. Well, we argued with our parents all the time. We were very defiant because we were fired up by our teachers not to listen to them. So my mother announced when the next school term came up that she would take me out of this horrible public school and she would put me in a private school with an excellent curriculum, but I wouldn't have much fun. Sure enough, packed me off, and everyone, and when it was a very good school with an excellent curriculum, but no fun. We didn't have any fun. We couldn't even go to a movie because all the movies, they were nothing but a lot of propaganda, and they certainly didn't want to have us to see that. But I remember as we got to the school, there was about an 8-foot wall around with an iron gate, which was always locked. And when I bid my mother goodbye, I almost hated her because I thought she was going to put me in a prison-like school. But my mother said, sometime when you grow up, you probably will thank me for. And sure enough, I thanked her 1,000 times over that she saved me from this godless humanism which was going on in our school system. My mother was absolutely right. She had the foresight to save me, even though on holidays, when I would go back home on vacations, and I would mingle with my old classmates again. I didn't like what I was seeing. Girls at age 16 were being pregnant, and there was a very free lifestyle. And those girls who were being pregnant They were so glorified to have a baby for Hitler. I didn't like what I was seeing. And of course, when I go back to Austria and I see some of my old friends again, it's so tragic that 3, 4, 5 generations never found back to God. They were totally engulfed in humanism, and that's why when you go to Europe today, you find mostly the church empty, except for the tourists. Very sad. So we were getting a lot of new laws under the new government. Sure, they knew how to govern. Socialism. One of the first laws which we got, which was hailed by the women very, very much, we got the Equal Rights Amendment. Equal rights for women. Well, Austria was a very traditional country because when a woman got married, she stayed home and raised her family. But if you were a female teacher and you got married, you could not go back teaching. You were, by tradition, to stay home and raise a family. This all changed with the Equal Rights Amendment. The teachers were for it, everybody was all for it, until the war came. That's when the girls were equally drafted like the boys. Only the girls were being drafted into the labor corps, and they were living in barracks. They worked in the daytime on the farms, harvesting and planting and all that. But at night, they had pre-military training. And when their compulsory year was up, they were retained to go into the signal corps or to the anti-aircraft gunners. They were right out in the firing line. And when the girls got wounded and some of them got killed, we realized that with equal rights for women, we got the frosting on the cake, and the cake was so rotten underneath. We also had all kinds of new laws. We had a new health department, socialized medicine. Austria had excellent health care before Hitler. We had excellent hospitals. We had excellent doctors. And most of the health care was by private insurance. All that changed overnight. Everybody got free health care. And then the good doctor went to the office in the morning. 40 patients were waiting for him. And he could only treat them with very short time. It was like a conveyor belt. Because how can you treat 40 people waiting already when you start your office hour? And on they came, because it was free. Everything was free. And of course, the downside was when you needed some elective surgery and you needed a hospital bed, you had to wait a year to get a hospital bed, because all the hypochondriacs were occupying the beds in the hospital. A lot of the good doctors left the country and went to other countries because they could not practice their medicine like they were taught. And medicine practiced medicine under the government rule is, like I gave you an example, my brother-in-law was a family physician. And he had to practice the socialized type medicine. So he was very conscientious. He would prescribe for his patients what they really needed, but it was too expensive for the government. So the doctors were all paid by the government. They were salaried. And if the medication was too expensive,
You're listening to the Freedom Above Fortune radio show. My name is Joe Bannister, your host. You're listening to Kitty Werthmann describing her experiences growing up in Nazi Germany during World War II. And we'll be right back after these messages. Thanks for joining us.
Want to receive a big return on your investment? Then take your Ford, Lincoln, or Mercury to Ford of Ocala and ask for the works. For just $29.95, you'll receive Motorcraft Premium Synthetic Blended Oil and Filter Change. Rotate and inspect all four tires. Inspect air and cabin air filters. Test your battery, brakes, belts, hoses, and top off all fluids. This is no overpriced quickie roadside drive-thru. Ford of Ocala guarantees white glove service with genuine quality Ford parts and factory-trained service techs. Ford do-it-yourselfers Ford of Ocala's parts department is open to the public, stocking genuine Motorcraft parts with a factory guarantee. Ford of Ocala is the name you can trust. Your family and its safety are too important. Come to Ford of Ocala and ask for the works. It's just $29.95. It's ladies and gentlemen serving ladies and gentlemen. Where every day's a sale day, their service will make the difference. Highway 441 Ocala and Bellevue. The traffic's not bad at all.
Color copies, just 29 cents.
Copy Cafe.
Color copies, just 29 cents.
Copy Cafe.
Color copies, just 29 cents.
Copy Cafe. Enjoy the lowest prices on copies at the Copy Cafe, West Gulf to Lake Highway, Crystal River, in the Pineview Plaza. Copy Cafe uses state-of-the-art high-speed digital equipment. At the Copy Cafe, you'll always get the lowest-priced faxes in town. And the Copy Cafe is the cheapest place to ship your packages, with black and white copies at only 5 cents a copy. No job too big or too small for the Copy Cafe on Highway 44, across from Bay Area Air Conditioning in the Pineview Plaza, Crystal River. Copy Cafe is your authorized FedEx shipping center, also offering notary services. Copy Cafe with a full supply of discounted shipping supplies, featuring a quick turnaround on flyers and brochures. Copy Cafe.
Call 563-COP1. That's 563-COPY for the Copy Cafe. Highway 44 in the Pineview Plaza, Crystal River. For all of your copying and shipping needs at the lowest prices. Guaranteed.
We've all heard of the Great Horn of Plenty, and there's plenty to celebrate here at the Insurance Den with tremendous savings on your business, home, and auto insurance. And you don't have to wait for Santa Claus to come to town for the great gift of savings that you'll get at the Insurance Den. Every day is like Thanksgiving and Christmas at the Insurance Den for great rates on commercial and personal policies. Call 1-800-356-3947. That's 1-800-356-3947. The Insurance Den. We're staying right here.
Hi, folks. Gary Swigert, General Manager at Citrus Kia here in Crystal River. Hey, from the ownership of Steve and Cindy Heitman and myself and staff, we'd like to invite you here to Citrus Kia, the Kia giant, and find out for yourselves why people drive from all over this state to purchase a vehicle from us. Yes, price and selection are important, but the way you feel when you leave this dealership is something that means more to us than anything. Remember, at Citrus Kia, we just don't close car deals. We open relationships. We'd love to see you here, Citrus Kia in Crystal River.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on Liberty Works Radio Network.
There's a reason education's because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. It's the big, wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. They're irrelevant. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pockets. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They got you by the They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want. Well, we know what they want. They want more for themselves and less for everybody else. But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interest. That's right. You know something? They don't want people who are smart enough to sit around the kitchen table to figure out how badly they get by a system that threw them overboard. They don't want that. You know what they want? They want obedient workers. Obedient workers. People who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork and just dumb enough to passively accept all these increasingly jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect it. And now they're coming for your Social Security money. They want your retirement money. They want it back so they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on Liberty Works Radio Network.
Now live from coast to coast and around the globe, more real talk, the kind you want, on Liberty Works Radio Network.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Freedom Above Fortune radio show. My name is Joe Bannister, your host, the Agent for Truth, agentfortruth.com, freedomabovefortune.com. I've been bringing you the speech done by Kitty Werthmann to the South Dakota Family Policy Council in June 2009. And Kitty is describing her experiences, her personal real-life experiences growing up under the Nazi regime of Adolf Hitler in World War II. She grew up and born and raised in Austria, and Austria was, of course, taken over by the Nazis. And so she's describing her real-life experiences growing up during that era. So again, we rejoin Kitty Werthmann. Thanks for joining us.
And the government criteria, they took it out of his paycheck. So the paycheck kept smaller and smaller and smaller. And a lot of doctors just quit because they could not treat their patients according to their conscience. So we had really, really, really bad socialized medicine. Don't ever believe that socialized medicine is good. Why do you think that people come down from Canada? When I go to the Mayo Clinic, I see a lot of Canadian people in the waiting rooms, and they tell horrible stories how bad their medicine is being practiced there. Don't ever think that socialized medicine is good medicine. You are not going to be treated well. You're going to be rationed. And some of us who are senior citizen, when Medicare is running, money is running out, euthanasia is just around the corner. We also had a guaranteed income. Because of the Equal Rights Amendment, the Equal Rights Amendment was not only equal rights for women, it was to equalize the nation's wealth economically and socially. Socially, the mothers were taken out of the home. They had to work outside of the home. And, of course, the government provided a remedy right away, free child care centers. You could leave your children, your baby, at age 4 weeks, as long as you want, 24 hours a day, was all paid by the government. The babysitters, as we know them, they were not babysitters as we know them. They were highly, highly skilled women in child psychology. Because the government, the earlier the government got their hands on the children, the better they liked it. From babyhood on, 01 on up, throughout the whole education system was all by the government. They molded us just the way they wanted them. We also had an agency which were snooping. They had it was a huge health agency safety and health, and they overlooked the businesses and the farms. The agents would go into the businesses and snoop around that everything was safe. Everything was inspected. I remember my brother-in-law had a small restaurant, and his tables were square like this. The agents would come in and say, you cannot have corners on the table. You have to have round tables. People can bump themselves. Children get hurt. You have to have round tables. And you have to have two bathrooms. So a lot of small businesses, they could not afford to buy all this new furniture and add a new bathroom and do this. So the small businesses went out of business. Only the big ones remained. The other part was the agents would go out on the farm. Well, of course, by that time, the war started in 1939, and all our food was being rationed. You couldn't even buy a loaf of bread or an egg without a ration card. So all the farmers, they had to turn in everything to the food bank, what they raised, whether it was livestock or whatever. So the agents from the government would go out on the farms and they measure out their land and then tell the farmer how much they have to produce, whether the weather guaranteed anything or not. They counted their livestock, and the cows had to produce that much milk that the government said the cow has to give. They also counted their chickens and told the chickens how many eggs they had to lay. We were controlled by rules and regulations, 24 hours. Hitler wrote a book, Mein Kampf, My Struggle. He wrote everything in the book what was going to happen, what he was going to do. But unfortunate, very few people read it because everybody was so busy with sports. Everybody was involved in sports so much. Certainly there was no time to read, so nobody read it. Had we read his book, had we seen what was coming, we would have been very wise about it, but we didn't. And of course we couldn't get any information from the outside. Our borders were being closed and we didn't have any conservative movement or literature. We didn't know anything except what we were told by way of radio. They also had a cabinet secretary of propaganda, Dr. Goebbels. And he was on the radio every night, and we had to listen. The reason what we had to listen was they would monitor the radio, make sure that everybody listens. And of course, well, we had no other way of finding out anything. Abortions were strictly illegal because Hitler wanted a lot of babies. But we had selected abortions. If the mother or the father were not 100% Aryan, pure German, the mother was selected for abortion. Absolutely. We couldn't have racial inferior babies. Well, as my education came along, the educational system was very tightly structured. You went to school all year long, so you graduated earlier. My profession, of course, I could not choose my profession. That was also controlled by the government. I wanted to be a journalist and writer. They said, we don't need journalists. We don't need writers either. We need teachers. So I had to go into education, into teaching. Well, as time went along, then in my last year, I was sent to a small village in Austria in the Alps to do my practice teaching. And as I arrived there, it was a small town, and I was told that in that town they had about 15 people who were mentally retarded. They couldn't speak very well. They couldn't read or write. So the health department came around to the parents of those people, and they said, you would just sign the paper. We will institutionalize your son or daughter to teach him how to read and write, and also teach him a trade like basket weaving or whatever, some handicraft. Gladly, the parents signed that paper. What mother could deny her son or daughter the pleasure how to read? So there was just a little clause in that paper after they signed it that they couldn't visit them for 6 months because they might get homesick. Nothing was said until about 6 months later. The letters arrived to the parents from the health department that their son or daughter died a natural but merciful death. Well, in that small village, I would equivalent that to maybe Brandon. The news got around very fast that each one of them got euthanized. And I remember that one guy I know best was the janitor in my school. And I will never forget that morning when I looked out of my classroom window and there was the van out there from the health department, and all those 15 people, including Vincent, who was the janitor, walked into that van. And I asked my principal, what are they doing? And he said, oh, they're just going to take him to an institution that they teach him how to read and write. And look what happened. They all got euthanized. We have euthanasia. We also had a federal police force, commonly known as the Gestapo. They were everywhere. They were in civilian clothes. You didn't know who they were. And I remember that at home, in my home, when we talked something political, we never talked loud. We whispered. And I just give you an example. When somebody died in your family, like Grandma had a ration card to buy her food and that 1 pound coveted sugar a month. And of course, you quickly went to the grocery store and you bought that 1 pound of sugar instead of turning that ration coupon in. That's what the law said. And you bought the sugar. Next day, the Gestapo would knock on your door and said, we are not going to arrest you. We know that you bought that pound of sugar, but you have to inform on your boss, on your neighbor, on your friends, everybody you know. Come to our office and report once a week. But if you don't do that, then we arrest you.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Kitty Werthmann describe her real-life experiences of growing up in Nazi Germany during World War II, actually growing up in Austria, taken over by Nazi Germany in World War II. And so we'll rejoin Kitty's speech in the next hour, and thank you very much for joining us.